are holding on Chof Beis on the Beis, right about the middle of the Amud line against Ragla. Okay, we discussed yesterday we started discussing the Mishnah had said that you're not allowed to stable your animal in a Goyish inn because we're concerned that Goyim are suspect about bestiality. And we started discussing the question, what about the fact that we see that you're allowed to buy animals for korbanos from Goyim, where if they had been used for bestiality, they'd be possible. And we discussed the basic idea is that the Goyim are not going to do it with their own animals because they're concerned about ruining their fertility in the case of females or their health in the case of males. So they wouldn't have a problem doing it with a Jew's animal, and they also wouldn't have a problem. A Goyish shepherd wouldn't do such a thing with another Goy's animal because he figures the other Goy would not so much knock his head off, but the other Goy, the owner of the animal, would be wise to it. If he would have reason to suspect it, whereas a Jew wouldn't as much. Okay, so the question is fine. Yehochi's chorim menekevus lo nizbun. Fine. What about, though, if we're still saying that the goyim are suspect of bestiality, where it's not going to affect the health of the animal, then we shouldn't be allowed to buy for korbanos, we shouldn't be allowed to buy a male animal from a goyish woman, because you have the other way around. She may have used it for bestiality, where she'll be the passive and the animal will be the active one, and that doesn't ruin the animal's health or fertility or what have you. So why aren't
still
we...
Would be possible for carbon.
It would still be possible for a carbon, exactly. So why aren't we concerned about that?
Who says we're not?
We don't find any place that we have a problem. We're going to discuss later on. We're going to discuss the question of whether we're allowed to buy animals for korbanos from goyim. But on the face of it, we are. So why should we be allowed to? The answer is kiven de migriba, yes, but the problem is that if a woman does that with an animal, then afterward that animal is going to be very attracted to her and follow her around all the time. So therefore she's afraid, therefore she's afraid to do such a thing in the first place, because then people are always going to see, Mary had a little lamb and wherever she went, the lamb followed her. No, of course not. I'm just using, everywhere where she went, the lamb is sure to go.
That's the point.
The animal would do that, and therefore people are going to think, people are going to realize what she was doing, and she'll be embarrassed of it. So to take an animal of ours and stable it by her, that would be also because it's just a short-term thing. The animal is not going to be able to follow her around after that because you're going to be taking it back.
A very bad thing.
That's the point. In other words, so if it's an animal that's not regularly going to be around her, then she may not be afraid to do that. No, then okay, she may not be afraid to do that. That is why our Mishnah is saying it's also to do that. It's also to leave the animal by her because she may end up using it for those purposes. If it's her own animal and you're talking about later on going and buying it from her for a carbon, that's not a problem because she's going to be afraid to in the first place because it will follow her around. The question is, El Ahad Tani Rav Yosef, fine, but in that case, if you're going to say that, what are you going to do with this that Rav Yosef says? Al Malta La Tirabi Kalba, an almana, a widow, should not keep a dog, should not raise a dog.
And she should not have a young Tamachacham stay by her as a
guest or as a boarder because of problems with Nus. Now, so Rashi actually says, as far as both of them, one second. So Rashi says about both of them that with the dog, she may have a taiva for it and end up committing bestiality with it. And with the Talmud Chacham, it's that, again, that she may do that. Now, other Rishonim say that not really. We find in other Gemaras
that Jews in general are not suspect of such things, like Mishka Zohar and about Mishka Behemoth.
Talking about Jewish.
This is a Jewish woman we're talking about. So rather, therefore, they explain. It's not Sanhedrin. Rashi himself explains elsewhere. We're not so much talking about the suspicion that she will do it, but rather, at least in the case of the dog, you have reason that people may suspect her of doing it. In other words, we, the Talmud with the Chachamim, wouldn't suspect it, because we say that Jews are not suspect on Behemoth. But people, if they see her with a dog, are going to start talking, are going to start wagging their lips. And you want to avoid such a thing. You want to avoid the shot.
At the time, they didn't have dogs. In general, some people kept dogs, but the point is an almana shouldn't. It's one thing if she's a married woman. There's no reason to suspect that. Okay. I can understand why we're saying that the Ba'avei Rav, the Talmud Chacham, should not be boarded by her. Because a Ba'avei Rav is theistic in the sense that he doesn't talk a lot to... Ba'avei Rav is a young Talmud Chacham, like a
member of the yeshiva, like he's boarding away from home. By the way, the Rambam... So one second. So the Rambam understands it to mean that a Talmud Chacham should not be living in the same chotzer as an almana. Because of the chashad, because of the suspicion. The Ravid says that's going too far. All the Gemara is saying over here is that she shouldn't board him by her. In other words, as a long-term thing in the house. And the Taz adds even more than that, according to the Ravid. It might only be also if she's actually feeding him food, as opposed to if he's paying for his room and board, that might be different. Anyway, so in Shulchan Aruch it brings both opinions. And Shulchan Aruch says that preferably he shouldn't live in the same chatzer as her to comport with what the Ravid says. That's what we mean by a chaser, I guess. So the Rambam would say that it's a problem. The Rambam would apparently say that's a problem. Unless maybe not. Maybe the Rambam means if they're the only two people in the chaser, but I don't think so. I think if it sounds more, I don't know. Anyway, so a barbe rav, therefore, I can understand why she shouldn't have around because he's sneistic in the sense, not that there might not be a taiva for znus. Anybody can have a taiva, but the point is, if they end up doing it, if they end up being mizana with each other, he's not going to talk about it. Or rather, he will talk about it. He won't talk about it. So therefore, she may not be afraid to try and be mizana with him, figuring her secret is safe because he's not going to go and blab about it. So I can understand that. Ella kalba, but a dog. You just said that a goyish woman is going to be afraid to commit bestiality with one of her own animals because then it'll follow her around everywhere. Well, by that logic, why should an almana, a Jewish almana, be also to keep a dog? Kibin migra b'mirtasa. Since, again, if the dog is always following her around, which it will if she has relations with it, then she should be afraid of that. Therefore, she's not going to do it in the first place. So why are we worried? The answer is given to kishadulei umsa, because you can
always say...
We're saying that a goyish woman is not going to commit bestiality with an animal of her own because she's afraid that then from then on that animal is always going to be following her around and people are going to realize what she did and it's going to be an embarrassment.
Right.
So why don't we say the same thing with an almana, that she should be allowed to raise a dog because she would be afraid to commit bestiality with it? Same idea.
Yeah.
Hello. The answer is a dog is different. A dog is different.
Because you can throw a dog a piece of meat, or master habatsu, and it'll also follow you all the time.
Mema amri inchi. So therefore, if she has the dog following her around because she was mizana with it, mema amri inchi. People are not necessarily going to say that it's that she committed bestiality with it, and she'll be embarrassed. They'll just figure, hide mister habatsu, misham umsa to come master. Why is the animal? Why is this dog following her around everywhere? Because she's been feeding it meat, and an animal is naturally attracted to someone who feeds it meat.
Therefore, she
won't be afraid that her secret will get out, and therefore she might be mizana with the animal. So it does go together. In other words, when there's not much of a possibility of being discovered. For example, again, a goyish woman with a Jew's animal, where the Jew's animal is not going to be there long term, so it's not going to have a chance to follow her around afterwards. Or an almana with a dog, where a dog is going to follow you around just by you giving it meat. In those cases, we have reason to suspect that bestiality might be done, and therefore it's also.
Even if she's afraid of getting mounted.
She figures her secret is safe. She
figures her secret is safe. Yeah. Okay. I mean, the truth is, again, it depends. You know, we're saying
on the face of it, all Gemara seems to be saying that there is a real concern that she might do such a thing, and therefore it's not allowed, which would imply therefore it's an actual issue. On the other hand, the Rambam again puts it not so much in terms of that she's suspect of actually doing it. Jews aren't in general suspect of such things, but rather that people might talk. In which case, it might not be a full-fledged issue. It might just be it's not a good thing to do, but it's not a flat-out issue if she does keep a dog. Okay. Anyway.
Fine. Next, we have that from the Kavis, based on the Kavis, my time of leading up. Our Mishnah has said that you're not allowed to stable an animal with a goy.
Without specifying whether we mean a male animal or a female animal, a male goy or a female goy, implying it's also in all cases, why should it be also to keep a female animal with a female goy, with a goyter? My time of leading up, and why shouldn't you be able to have them together? There's no possibility of bestiality.
A blank statement.
That's the question. So we can understand why the animal not with a male human
right.
being, because either way, whether it's a male or female animal, it could do. But a woman is not capable of doing bia, or what a woman can do with another woman or with an animal is not or with a female animal, that is, would not be considered
so
bia
right.
in Allah. So what's the problem?
Right.
The answer is Amma Ma'ukwabachom.
Because Goyim are promiscuous with each other's wives, So sometimes it'll happen
that this woman's guy, that this woman's boyfriend, who's also a guy, comes over to have relations with her. So sometimes he may not find her. She may not be home at that point. And then he finds the animal there and decides to be regeya that instead. The boisema, or another possibility, afilu moitza nami roiva.
Never mind, even if the woman is there, he may choose to have relations with the animal rather than with his goyish girlfriend.
Da'amamar, because
that's fine, but da'amamar, because we learn in a braisa, chaviva aleim behem and show Yisrael, yoytim in a sheitein. The goy have a preference for Jews, for animals of Jews over their own
women, over goyish women. Why is that? Why should they have such a preference for
why should they have such a distaste for their own women? That they would go into an animal instead.
The Shah Shabon Nachash al Chava, when the Nachash came against Chava, Hitobot Zuama, he
put into her, he injected into her a Zuama of venom.
Zuama means a filth, a disgustingness. So, on the face of it, we're talking about a ruchniyistic of disgustingness that came about through the Chet Egel. There's a lot of different explanations that Rambam has a discussion about it in Moreh Nevuchim. He says the whole idea is the Nachash, that you find in Midrashim, that the Nachash had the Satan riding on it, so therefore the Zuama that we're talking about over here represents the idea that she succumbed to her. A lot of different nuances that are talked about in it, but whatever it is, the point is, that there was a zuama, there was a filth, a disgustingness that was injected into humanity by that. So therefore, in other words, therefore the result of that is that therefore the goyim are less attracted to their own women because they have that zuama. So the question is, Yehochi Yisrael Nami? Well, in that case, wouldn't the same thing apply to us Jewish people? So everybody's descended from Adam and Chava, exactly. The answer is Yisrael Sha'omdu al Har Sinai, Pasto Zuama, because the Jewish people stood at Har Sinai. Then the filth went away. In fact, there's a famous explanation that we say. We say in the Haggadah, we say in Dayenu, that if Hashem had brought us to Har Sinai and not given us the Torah, then it would have been enough. What does that mean? What would have been accomplished by us coming to Har Sinai if we didn't receive the Torah? So you have many explanations. One of them is based on our Gemara over here. Just coming to Har Sinai itself took away the Zuama, took away this ruchniyistic filth that we had, that we had. Even if we hadn't been given the Torah.
And Tosis points out that obviously it is the same thing because they're mazel, and the shamas were there at Matan Torah as well.
So from then on, there's no zuama by the Jewish people.
Oh, the kachadim shalom do. I have seen that the goyim did not stand.
I have seen that. Let's pass kills zuama. Then there's zuama. This ruchniyistic filth never went away, and therefore, in other words, the goyim are they sense that, even if not consciously, they sense it subconsciously. And therefore, they have less of an attraction to their own goyish women. They would prefer, therefore, us. And if not us, then even our animals, because even a Jew's animal has a certain degree of kedusha compared to a goyish animal. So therefore, so because of that, now we have reason to be concerned again that you stabled your female animal by a goita. Meanwhile, her goyish boyfriend is going to come and end up being the zana of the animal.
Okay, so fine, so that explains why you can't stay one. Fine. So now we have a question. What would be the meaning about keeping birds by goy? Yeah, again, the same idea.
In other words, you have a bird that you need to keep by, you need to leave by a goy, by an inn for a while. Would you be allowed to? Is there a problem that they might be revea that as well? The answer is toshma. We can prove that yes, it is a problem.
Rav Chanina says,
I saw, and Shmuel reports it, and Rav Yehuda reports it in his name, I saw a guy who bought a goose in the marketplace, Rava, he committed revere with it,
Chompa, then he strangled it, and goyim do before they don't chef, Solov, Achlan, and he roasted it in the meal. And so you see that they would do it with birds as well. But I'm going to view him this, and the view him this, he says, not only with live birds, even I need to see Arabia, because I saw a certain Arab. So what about
Yerach min Ashur? Because he was specifically with an Arab.
The Taya maybe is one particular group of Arabs, maybe Arab is a general term for the nation, whatever. But the Arabs, we know,
Klal, a shot of the Zima, going all the way back to Yishmael. They have a much more powerful taiva for Znus than all the other nations in the world. That's the famous thing, speaking of Matan Torah, that when Hashem offered the Torah to all the nations, they turned it down because of Lo Sinas.
That is the
Oh, maybe you're right. Maybe, yeah, you're right. I think Donovan might have turned it down close enough so they can't come to Europe. Yeah, okay, you're right. You're right.
But nevertheless, okay, we still do find there's a lot of association between Arvim and Nus in many places. There's the whole idea in Chassidus that Ishmael is Chesed de Klippa as opposed to Avraham's Chesed of Kedusha, and therefore they have, yeah.
They have.
Yeah,
for sure.
Well, everybody has Tivus, but they have it to an exceptional degree. Anyway. So, Anira is the Arvi Echad Shalokach Yerach Min Ashuk. I saw
an Arvi, an Arab, who bought a thigh of meat from the store, from the market.
Arabi, whatever, yeah. The Chokach Bakadei Raviyah, he made a hole in it big enough for Raviyah, Rava Tzlav Achla, and then he did Raviyah with it, then he roasted and he ate it. So we see that, yes, it would be a problem even with birds.
Yeah, because a thigh of an animal, big piece of meat, there's enough. We have enough substance to
be able to carve out a hole in it big enough for review.
What is it?
It's a thigh of an animal. A thigh of an animal. Okay.
Fine.
So far, so good then. So we have one reason why it is that on the one hand, we're not allowed to stable animals, or now we're saying birds as well by Goyim, and on the other hand, we're saying you're allowed to buy animals from them for korban. Okay. Now, Ravina says, here's a different way of explaining it.
It's not a contradiction between the fact that we're not allowed to stable animals by them and the fact
that we're allowed to buy animals for korbanos from them, where Reveya and Nirba would make
now
a puzzle.
Now we're getting to the real question.
Well, this is the same question that we were dealing with the whole time.
Right.
Till now we were talking about the idea that Goyim are suspect on Reveya, but not with their own animals. But now we're going to make another distinction. Ravina Amar Leikasha HaLachatzchila HaDiyeved. One is talking about Lachatzchila, one is talking about Bidiyeved. Many of the Rishonim say that here we're not using Lachatzchila and B'diyeved in the usual sense in which we use them in Shas. Because what would B'diyeved mean over here? We're saying you're allowed to buy an animal from them for a korban. That's Lachatzchila. You don't have to buy an animal from them. You could buy it someplace else. So rather, they explain that over here, Lachatzchila and B'diyeved means, as the Rashba talks about, what
are we concerned may happen in the future? That's what we call Lachatzchila,
versus what are we concerned may have already happened? That's what we're calling B'diyeved. Meaning, in other words, that we have to be concerned in the future. You leave an animal by a goy, he may commit reveal with it. On the other hand, if the animal has already been by him, then we don't have to be so concerned that maybe he already committed reveal with it to the extent that we would say it would be possible for a carbon. That not. There's a concern about what might happen. We're not concerned about what could have already happened.
It's not logical.
No, we find that we shouldn't leave it by them because of the possibility. No.
What we're saying is that, right, we're saying not just if we left it by them, but we're saying if we buy an animal from them, we don't have to be concerned that they may have already done that. We don't have to be concerned about what may have already happened. And the Rashba points out, we actually have such a thing in Gittin. There's a case over there involving where a person is sending a get through a shliach to his wife, and there's reason to be concerned that whether he may die before the get is delivered, or whether maybe he already died by the time the get is delivered. So there you have a similar distinction. We do have to be concerned that he might die in the future before it's delivered, but we don't have to be concerned that he's already dead at the time once the shliach delivers it. We don't have to be concerned that maybe he was already dead at the time.
It's a pure event. In
but here also we're talking about pure
shot.
Event. Okay.
Maybe you can answer saying in both cases that they brought here, they killed the animal right away afterwards.
Well, granted, but that's not the point. That was with birds specifically because the guy was going to eat the bird. Right, but the point still remains. We did discuss before that goyim are choshered on Ruvia, and that is why, after all, our Mishnah is saying that you can't stable animals. So they're choshered. But that's what we're saying. When we buy, there's no reason, that's what Ravina is arguing. There's no reason to be concerned that any particular animal that you buy from a goy may have been used for Ruvia. They are suspect on such things, and therefore you shouldn't leave animals by them. But once you already have an animal, where you're wondering what its past history was, you don't have to worry about that. And continues Ravina, where do you get this idea that there's a difference between the past and the future? The shiny bein lachatchila bein diavad, l'diavad. Where do we see that there's such a distinction between lachatchila and b'diavad? We see that it's none, because we learn in a Mishnah, we learn in our Mishnah, Loitis Yachad Ishei Ma'am of Neshach Shudna La Arayas. Our Mishnah had said that a Jewish woman, should not be alone with a goy, because they're choshud an arayas, they're choshud that they made.
One second, hold on.
Urminhu, but we have a contradiction because we have a Mishnah in Ksubas that says, Ha'isha Shenech B'shal B'de'ev T'chavim, a Jewish woman, who was imprisoned by Goyim, al yedei mamon, if it was a case of mamon that they owe the good money and therefore he put her in debtor's prison until the debt is paid, muteres labayla, then she's allowed afterwards to be with her husband. Al yedei nefashas asur labayla, but if it was a matter of dini nefashas that she was accused of something that would be a capital case, then she would also to her husband. So one second. So why? The Gemara is going to discuss why. But there is also, by the way, now Rashi explains that the scenario we're talking about over here, we're talking about this as a Yisrael's wife. Now, we know that the din is if a Yisrael's wife is raped, she's still mutter to her husband. Only if it was consensual. No, a Jew or a guy, it doesn't matter. I said a Yisrael.
A Yisrael,
that's what I said. That's what Rashi learns that we're talking about a Yisrael. A Yisrael's wife, if she was raped, is mutter to him. If he's a Kohen, then she's also. But if she's a Yisrael, if he's a Yisrael, the only possibility would be if it was consensual. So therefore, what we're saying is that if it was al yedei nefashos, then we're saying that she's also to her husband because it's al yedei nefashos, since she's in danger of her life, she may figure that she may save her life. Well, it is, but it isn't. That's the thing. I mean, obviously, it's onus. She wouldn't be in that situation willingly. But we're saying that the concern is that she may go ahead and submit to them in order to save her life, and therefore she'd be. And therefore, there's a concern of that, and therefore she'd be also to her husband. If there's reason to be concerned that she may have agreed to it in order to save her life,
even if they threaten her life.
Yeah. We're saying because they. One second. Let's learn through the Gemara over here. But we're going to see exactly what the reasons are. But right now we're saying that the point isn't yet al yedei nefashos. We're focusing on the al yedei mamon. We're saying that if she was arrested because of monetary reasons, then she remains mutter to her husband. Tosfos goes on to Tosfos disagrees with Rashi on that. Tosfos learns the Gemara there in Ksubas differently and says that actually we're dealing here with the wife of a kohen. So therefore, for reasons that the Gemara is going to say in a minute, if it's Ayudei Mamon, we're not concerned that they may have raped her, where again, if they had, she would be also to her husband. If it's Ayudei Nefashis, then we are concerned.
Mamon, they're waiting for the money.
But that's what the Gemara is going to say. But wait, right now, though, before we get into the Nefashis thing, the point is we're saying that she's mutter to her husband with an Eishas Yisrael, according to Rashi, because we're not concerned that she may have agreed to do it. Not with an Eishas Kohen that we're not concerned she was raped, according to Tosfos. We see that she's mutter, after all. Yet we're saying that she shouldn't be alone with Goyim. So obviously we see that there is a difference between Lachachila and Dievet. Lachachila, she shouldn't be alone with them. But Dievet, if she was, then we're not concerned about what might have happened.
So that,
we're talking within Dini Mamon. One second. The point is, therefore, by the same logic, therefore, Ravina says, so you can say the same thing when it comes to animals. That Lachachila, you shouldn't be stabling the animal by them. But the Dievet, you had an animal that was by them, and now you're talking about what may have happened to the animal in the past. You don't have to worry about it.
Why are we concerned about when it's in the fight?
Well, that's what we have to figure out. The answer is Mimai. The Gemara said, the Gemara asks that Mimai. Who says that that's a valid proof? You could argue that in the case of the woman, it would be also even b'di'evid. In other words, that we are concerned about what might have happened during the time she was in prison. But the reason why we're saying that when it comes to dinim mominus, the woman is mutter, is, like you just said, because the goy will be afraid to do anything because he's afraid of losing his money. He's going to figure that if he rapes or seduces her or whatever, that the husband is not going to want to bother redeeming his wife and then paying the money. And therefore, the goy is not going to want to do that. And the Gemara continues, you can prove, after all, that the only reason we're making her mutter is because we're talking about cases where the goy is going to be afraid to touch her because he doesn't want to lose his money. Because after all, the Mishnah does continue that if it was al yedei nefashos, where she was under a death sentence, then she is also to her husband. So again, because since the goy has no reason to worry about losing his money, therefore he has no reason to be afraid. So he treats her like Hefker. So therefore, again, according to Rashi, the concern is that she may have done it berotzen in order to save her life. According to Tosfos, the vote is that the goy is not going to be afraid to touch her because he has nothing. There's nothing particular to lose. She's anyway under a death sentence, so therefore he's not worried.
Kidnapped or something like that.
However it is that she's arrested. But the point is that therefore the goy considers her hefker. There's no money that he's worried about losing. So that's it for Tuloy Midi, and therefore so there's nothing else to say. So therefore that's it. Obviously obviously we can't use that as a proof for what Ravina is saying. We can't say based on that there's a difference between Lachatchila and Dievet. When there's a case of Momin, when there's a case of Hefted Momin, it's different. But when there's no case of Hefted Momin, then there's not. Here we're talking about an Arm Mishnah versus the Braisa about buying Karbonis. We're talking about that you're not allowed to stable an animal with them versus buying an animal from them. You can't say what Ravina is saying, that there's a difference between the Hatchila and Bidiyevet, that once you're buying the animal, you don't have to be concerned about what its past history was, because otherwise, yeah, we can't say that. You can't say that based on the case of the woman. Now, the question is, Tosfos asked the question, based on that then, if you're telling me in the end the Gemara is saying there's no difference between the Hatchila and Bidiyevet, so what does that mean? Anytime a woman is alone with a goy, you have to be concerned that there may have been rape or seduction or whatever. So that rape, let's say we're talking about, in that case, Tosfos says, then what are you going to have? How is a Kohen's wife ever going to be mutter to him? Inevitably, at some point in her life, the wife of a Kohen is going to end up being alone with a goy for a short time.
She's not.
You never find it a thing. You never find it a thing that as soon as a Kohen's wife, there has to be something. Yeah. So Tosfos gives a couple of answers. Number one, the Gemara may just mean that we can't prove Ravina's point one way or the other from this case of the woman who was in jail. However, nevertheless, Ravina's din could still be a din. There may well be a difference between Hachila and Bidiyevet, but it doesn't apply in this particular case of the woman. Here in the case of the woman, there's a different issue, dinim momen versus dinim nefashis. That's one answer of Tosfos. Also, Tosfos says that after all, it's different when a woman is in jail. Then she's under the goy's power. He has the capability of raping her. If she's not under his power, she's just alone with him doing a business deal or whatever, and if he tries to lay his hands on her, she can scream out or whatever, then they have no reason to think that the goy will have tried anything. So therefore, so it is also for her to be in yichud with the goy, it's true, as our Mishnah is saying. Nevertheless, we're not going to ask her to her husband on those grounds. And the Tosfos brings, the Yerushalmi makes a similar distinction. Tosfos says an animal is one thing. If the goy comes to be reveya, the animal is not going to make noise necessarily or whatever and protest, whereas a woman will. So therefore, there's less of a concern. Now, as far as the actual question, by the way, as far as this that we're saying, that this case of dinim mominus versus dinim nefashis, whether it applies to an eishes yisrael or an eishes koyin, it ends up being a machlokes going all the way down to Shulchan Aruch. So you have, again, Rashi is being machmir and saying that it's talking even an eishes yisrael, where there's concern that she may have agreed to it to save her life. Tosfos is saying we're only talking about an eishes koyin and it's a question of rape or not. So the machaber paskins like Tosfos, and the Ramah brings from Rishonim like Rashi. He says, however, if it's the Ramah says, if it's a time of Hereg Rav with a major pogroms and whatever going on, then it'd be different. Then we can be makel like Tosfos's opinion. There's a number of interesting trubas that came out on this subject after the Holocaust, where they had to deal with the question, what about women who were in concentration camps and other such things? And the Minchas Yitzchak, for example, has a couple of trubas about it. He says that since the Nazis under their laws, it was strictly forbidden for a goy to be consorting with a Jewish woman, and severe penalties for it. And yeah, dead or whatever. So that itself made, but there's lots of chash about these women, and therefore he says whether it's an eishes yisrael or an eishes koyin, there's no problem.
Their distinction here, what might be a chashash versus like a chazaka? You mean a chashash? Okay, so we have to be concerned about that, but not that it for sure happened.
Well, that's right? Basically what we said. That's basically what Tosfos is saying, is that she's not allowed to be in yichud with the goy, but if she was, we're not going to be concerned unless we have strong reason to think that something happened. And that's not only with a goy. In general, you have a woman is not allowed to be in yichud. However, you don't ask her to her husband unless there's raglayim l'dover or something more than that. Just yichud alone is not enough to ask her to her husband. Okay.
But for a Jew, a husband can have Tina, his wife, when
if he's mechanic to her, right? Of course, that's a whole different thing. Yeah, yeah, fine. No, yeah, that is true. So, I mean, if he's mechanic to her, that's a whole different matter. That triggers the whole thing of Soika. Because there's a difference between he can be mechanic to her, he can be mechanic to her, but we're saying if there's no kinui, then steer her alone. It's not enough after her.
No, but if there is kinui, there doesn't have to be a kinui with fruit.
No, but once there is kinui. Fine. And once there is kinui, then steer her is different. Then she has to take extra steps to be careful of steer her. But let's just, we're not enough. So anyway, okay, so we had Ravina's answer, and again, either the Gemara has schlugged up Ravina's answer, or like Tosfos says, maybe it hasn't schlugged it up, but at least it's saying we don't really have a solid proof for it. Okay.
But again, it puts Ravina with the animal, so
yeah.
It's not a chazaka, right? That's what I'm saying. It's not for sure that this happened. Meaning,
we're business together?
No.
We're just saying it's usher for.
We're saying it's usher to leave the animal by them because we don't know, in the future they might commit reveal with it, and therefore and we don't want to allow for that.
Buy,
but we can buy from them because
it.
Right.
Okay.
That's the difference between Makhila and Bidiyavid. Okay.
Okay.
Let's go on. Rapidos says here's the third answer. There's no contradiction between our Mishnah and the Braisa about buying animals for Karbanos from Goyim, because Harab Eliezer, Harab Anan. Because one is according to our Mishnah is according to Rabbi Eliezer, and the Braisa that says that you're allowed to buy animals for Karbanos for them is according to the Rabbanan. Now again, we said at the beginning of the parak that Tosfos says that if we accept that answer of Rapidos, then it means our Mishnah is not necessarily Halacha anyway, and therefore there would be no issue of stabling animals by Goyim. However, again, many of the other Rishonim disagree with that. They say we can't necessarily accept the Padas' answer. We should say that our Stam Mishnah, the Halacha, is like it. However, again, in later times, it's closer to our time, since the Goyish governments themselves outlawed bestiality and have severe penalties for it, and then in general, the Goyim have become a little more civilized than they were in the olden times, and there's not an issue on it.
So we do accept these.
According to most of the Rishonim, we do not accept the Padas. We do say our Mishnah is according to the Chachamim. We use either the first answer of the Gemara before about the difference between the Goy's animal and a Jew's animal, or we use Ravina's answer about Hakila versus Bidiyavid. But nevertheless, in times, in places where the Goyim are where the Goyim are not suspect about bestiality because there are major penalties for it, as is true in most countries in the world nowadays, then that's different. Then you're allowed to. Okay, and how do we see that? Where do we see that Rabbi Eliezer is concerned about this kind of thing in the Chachamim or not? The Tnan Gari Paras Chatas, because we learned the Mishnah in Parah regarding the Parah Adoma. Rabbi Eliezer says that you're not allowed to buy a Parah Adoma from Goyim, but Chachamim Matirin, whereas the Chachamim say it's Mutter. Now we have to figure out my law of the Hakam Mitzvah. Well, we have to figure out my law of the Hakam Mitzvah. Shouldn't we say that the underlying reason for the Machloikas is as follows? The Rabbi Eliezer Sava Chashin L'Raviyah, but Rabbanan Savi Le Chashin L'Raviyah. Evidently, then, Rabbi Eliezer is concerned about Raviyah, and if Raviyah was done, it would pass all the animal, or the part Adoma, as the Gemara is going to discuss. Whereas the Chachamim apparently are not concerned about that. So there you go. Rabbi Eliezer is concerned about Raviyah. Therefore, he would be the one saying in our Mishnah that you can't stable animals by Goyim. The Chachamim would be saying it's not a problem, and the Chachamim would be saying it's not a problem, and therefore you're allowed to buy a Parah Adoma from them. So the Gemara says no. Mimai, who says that that's the correct understanding of the Machlokes? Dilma de Kula Almalei Chashin Leruvia. Maybe neither Rabbi Eliezer nor the Chachamim is concerned about Raviyah. No, the reason why Rabbi Eliezer would say that the animal is also not because we're concerned that the goy may have been revea, but rather Kidur Rabbi Yehuda Amarav, because he holds like the din that Rabbi Yehuda Amarav says.
Who else?
Rabbi Eliezer. The Amar of Yehuda Amarav, he miyachalei an oida shal sakin. Now we have two kinds of animals. We have two cases where we have an animal is only kosher for its use if no malacha was done with it. You have the Parah Adoma, asher lo ola ola oil, and you have the Egla Rufa, asher lo moshcha ba'oil. So if you placed a lehen on the animal, on either of these animals, oida shel sakin, if you placed on it a bundle, a leha, really, because it only refers to the Parah Adoma, if you placed on it a bundle of sacks, oida, Rashi explains, means a bunch of empty sacks tied together. So the, he just
enough to possible.
It's enough to possible for Aduma. Psalah, then he makes it possible because now you have Asher lo ola lo oil. Now you have that an oil that some kind of yoke, some kind of burden has gone on it. Over Egla had Shikim Shechba. On the other hand, when it comes to the Egla Arufa, it's only possible if it actually moves. If it actually moves a certain distance, the Kefach, the Gemara says in Soita, while it's carrying this load. Because when it comes to the Egla Rufa, it wouldn't matter as long as it's carrying load. But it has to be a Shele Moshcha Ba'oil, that it didn't pull using an oil, and the Gemara explains over there that means it has to have moved a Kefach. So the point, therefore, is Mar Sava Chashinen or Mar Sava Lai Chashinen. So therefore, what we would have is Rabbi Eliezer would be saying you're also to buy a part adrama from the goy, not because he may have committed review with it, but because he may have put a bunch of sacks or whatever on it, and therefore it would be possible. And the Chachamim are not choshish for that. The Chachamim are not concerned about that. They're not concerned about that possibility that he may have put empty sacks or whatever on it. There is, by the way, there's a medrash someplace that
said, to do with Rabbi Eliezer.
Right. There's a medrash, by the way, someplace that tells a story involving a goy who had a part adrama for sale, where to make a long story short, he figured he'd trick the chachamim and put a yoke on it and then sell it to them as a part adrama and it'll be possible. Turned out they found that it had a burden placed on it because, what is it, there's two hairs on the animal's back that are straight before it carried a burden, and then afterwards they get bent over from the burden, and also before an animal starts carrying a burden, its eyes look straight, and afterwards it gets kind of cross-eyed because it's trying to see what's on its back. So they found this animal had both of those symptoms, and therefore they told the goy, keep your money, we can't bother with it. And the goy was so upset that his trick backfired on him that he hanged himself. Anyway, the point is, evidently, not, but here we're talking about empty sacks. Those aren't necessarily heavy enough to cause either of these symptoms, not necessarily. So therefore, Rabbi Eliezer was concerned about it, and the Chachamim are not. But nothing to do with Rabia. Okay, the Gemara says no. Lois Salkanai. No, you can't think that that's the reason between the Machlokes between Rabbi Eliezer and the Chachamim did he maybe put a bunch of empty sacks on the animal or not?
So we're rejecting that.
We're coming back to Rabia. Mishum nicha purta like maksid tova. A goy knows. Everybody knows that a part of Adruma is worth a huge amount of money. So he's not going to go risk losing that huge amount of money for a couple of minutes that he'll take his sacks and put it on the animal where it's inconvenient for him to carry. He'd rather inconvenience himself and carry them rather than.
I was just about to suggest that. The question is,
fine, say the same. If we're going to say the problem is Rabia, then you could argue the same logic. Same thing. Why would the guy risk losing hundreds of thousands or whatever it is of dollars, which you can get for the part of Aduma, for a couple of minutes of pleasure with Rabia? Not necessarily, but...
Again,
facts are light. They wouldn't necessarily trigger the sin. But does it
not necessarily,
but the same way as the saying that Goy would be afraid to put a couple of sacks on it because if somebody sees him and reports it to the Chachamim, he'll lose everything. Same thing with Rabia. The answer is Hossam Yitzchak Toitvoy. Yes, but it's different in that case because the idea is a horror for it and that overcomes him. As we say, sometimes people think with a different part of their anatomy, you know. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
And he doesn't have a saver for money.
So Toitzvah talks about like this. What it is like this.
That's
okay, one second. Toitzvah says like this. Hold on. When it comes to his own animal, we said before, according to the first explanation in the Gemara, we said that a goy is not going to do revia with his own animal because he doesn't want to damage its health. However, the difference is there, not necessarily is he going to be selling that animal. He may well end up keeping it for himself. He doesn't necessarily have a market for it. So therefore, he doesn't want to do anything to damage its health. Here, Frekert, because it's worth a lot of money, he's going to be selling it. What's he himself going to do with a part adruma? For him himself, it's not worth any more or less than any other cow. It's only worth a lot because he has a built-in market for it, because he has Jews who he can sell it to. So therefore, he figures he might be able to get away with it. He might figure his Yetzirah is overpowering him. He wants to commit revia. I might be taking the chance of losing all that money. I'm less afraid because how are the Jews gonna find out that I ever did such a thing? Whereas when it comes to if it's his own animal, there's more reason for him not to do it because what if I never find a customer for it in the first place? Then I have an animal that's infertile or that's in bad health or whatever because I did that. I don't want to do that.
his own animal, he would think that...
He would figure that for his own animal, he would figure that he...
Something's missing here. If he fears that his own animal is going to become weak or infertile, why should...
But
he
doesn't
the
necessarily...
The paraduma, then?
Because the difference is... The paraduma, though, he figures he's going to be selling it. Of necessity, he's going to be selling the paraduma. He himself
right.
is not going to be keeping it.
Right.
Therefore, he will rationalize it to himself. I'll do it. I'll satisfy my yetzahara. What about the possibility of losing the money? Okay, I'll make sure to hide it from the Jews. I'll make sure to do it in secret so they don't find out. Whereas when it comes to his own animal, where he's not necessarily going to be selling it, he may keep it himself. Okay, well, then who am I fooling? I myself end up with an infertile or unhealthy or whatever animal. He's not going to do it.
Why do you say my animal is living with customers?
Well, that's what we said before. When we said before that they prefer our animals to their women, yeah, that's part of my improvement. It's a good factor into that as well, yeah. Okay, so that's the thing, therefore. So when it comes to the via yitzra, right? And even though it's a part of Adruma and it's worth a lot of money, just the opposite, because he's going to be selling it, he figures he'll be able to hide the evidence. Whereas with his own animals, it's not a question of hiding the evidence. He himself is going to end up with a sick animal. Therefore, he's not going to do it. But on the other hand, when it comes to an Oedishal Sakin, neither of the Yezer nor the Chachamim has reason to be concerned about that. Because why would he put an Oedishal Sakin? He has no particular taiva to put an Oedishal Sakin on there. And therefore, there's no reason to think that he would do that and potentially forfeit all the money for a part of it.
We checked the Sanjimun and we came back to review.
And we came back to review, yeah. Okay. Fine. Nevertheless, though, still, the Dilma Jakula Alma Loichashin Lurviya, maybe, though, after all, we should say that neither Rabbi Eliezer nor the Chachamim are concerned about Rabbiya. But Hochahainu Taimed Rabbi Eliezer, rather, though, we could argue that Rabbi Eliezer's reason for his din, why you're not allowed to buy the Parah Adurma from a Goy, is for a different reason. Kidatoni Shila, based on what Shila taught a Braisa. Kidatoni Shila, my time of the Rabbi Eliezer, he says, what's Rabbi Eliezer's reasoning? Because the Pasuk says, Dabra b'nei Yisrael v'yichwe lacha. It says, speak to b'nei Yisrael and they should take, meaning they should buy, they should bring to you. In Parshas Chukas, when it starts talking about the Parah Adurma. Dabra b'nei Yisrael v'yichwe lacha Parah Adurma t'mimah. They should bring to you a Parah Adurma. In Tanakh Loshen, the word yikach, means the shortish lokach means to take. In Lashon Chazal, it means to take or to acquire or whatever. In Lashon Chachamim, much more often it means to buy, a moichel and a lekeach. So therefore, the Gemara is understanding it more as in like the Lashon Chachamim way that the yichu means they shall buy it, and therefore the point is. We can also read the word not yikhu, but yatihu. They should cause it to be bought, meaning they should sell it. So therefore, b'nei Yisrael yikhu b'nei the chavim yikhu. So therefore, only Jews should be selling it, yatihu that is. B'nei Yisrael the chavim yatihu, goyim should not be selling it. So therefore, Rabbi Eliezer is saying, it's a xeris hakasa that you don't buy parah adurma from goyim. Nothing to do with Zuviya. Whereas the chachamim don't accept that, Darasha. The answer is lois
tachu. Yakichu, yes.
The answer is lois tachu.
To buy.
Means to sell. Yes. The answer is lois papadai. No, you can't think that way. So you still have to go back to the question of Rabbi to Katoni Sefer, because the end of that bride to continue. V'chein ho'yer Rabbi Eliezer poitzel b'chol ha'kobonis kulon. Rabbi Eliezer says, similarly, that it's possible by any other kobonis. You're not allowed to buy animals for any kobonis from goyim. So therefore, that's it. The isapadai dach kitzatoni shila. Now, if you're going to tell me that the reason why he says by the parah adurma you're not allowed to is based on shila's drasha, yeah, bishleim a parah ksid b'kicha. Okay, by the parah adurma it says the word b'yichu. Ela kula korbanas kicha ksidbu. By any other korban, does it use the expression b'yichu? It doesn't. So why would Rabbi Eliezer have a reason to extend this to other korbanas? So therefore, obviously, his concern must be Rabia, which would be possible by any korban. However, still. Because that's it. Because you can't say it's because of yichu yachivu, because that would be you being through a paradigma, right? No. Okay. Question is, the Duma ad kan le pligia rabbanon aleid rabbi Eliezer el of the parad, the Zamer Yisrael. Maybe just the opposite. Maybe the Chachamim only disagree with him by paradigma, which is worth a lot of money. Abba b'shar korbanos loydulei. Maybe indeed by other korbanos they are loyded to him.
Because they've only discussed
Parah Adurma. Yeah. So maybe you should argue that they're arguing about Parah Adurma
on the basis of
Yichu, Yakichu, whatever. But okay, they would say that when it comes to any other korban, everybody agrees you're not allowed to buy them from Goyim. So maybe that's the understanding of the machlokes. The answer is no. You can't say that because the Elohad Tanya, because then what are you going to do with the Braisa that we quoted before, Loichin Mehen Behemel Koban, where we said a Braisa that you're allowed to buy animals from Goyim for Kobonis, money. If you're going to understand the machlokas between them that way, then who is that Braisa going to be like? Loid of Eliezer or Loid of Bonim. It's not going to be like either one of them, because Rebbe Eliezer, both of them would be saying that it's also to do it by other Kobonis. If we have a Braisa that somebody says you're allowed to buy Kobonis from Goyim, obviously, there has to be somebody. It has to be either Rebbe Eliezer or the Chachamim. If we had a third, if we knew of a third opinion on the subject, fine. But right now, we only know of Rebbe Eliezer and the Chachamim. And not only that, we can prove that the Chachamim do not say that you're not allowed to buy other Korbanos from Goyim. In other words, you're arguing that maybe the Machlokes between Rebbe Eliezer and the Chachamim is only on Parah Adruma, and other Korbanos, everybody agrees you're not allowed to buy from Goyim. However, we have the Braisa continues. We're going to quote the whole Braisa later on Chaf Daled, so we'll learn it tomorrow, Be'ez Hashem. My Oisivu Lei Chavroi L'Rabbi Eliezer. How did Rabbi Eliezer's colleagues refute him? How did they show him that it's not so? You are allowed to buy animals from Goyim for Korbanos.
Like Macy.
Yeah. They brought him a Pasuk. Usually Macy is from a Mishnah or a Braisa. Here it's from something higher. Here it's from a Pasuk. A Pasuk says in Yeshaya, one of the Nevuahs about what's going to happen when Mashiach comes, it's in Haftorah, Parshas Kisavai, called Tzoyin Kedor Yikavtzulach. All the sheep of Kedar is Yishmael, is one of the nations of Yishmael, and at the end of Chayesara, when it lists the 12 sons of Yishmael, you have Nevoyas, Kedar, Adbeel, and Mifsam. So Kedar is one of the sub-tribes, one of the tribes of Yishmael, and they had Saudi Arabia or Jordan or what have you, but whatever. They had very high quality sheep. And the pasuk says, called Tzoyin Kedar Yikavtzulach, all the sheep of Kedar will gather to you, and the pasuk continues, Yalu l'rot and amizachi, and they will be brought, Yalu al-rot and mizachi, whatever, they will be brought for, as a desired korban that Hashem will accept on my mizbeach. So therefore, the Chachamim say, so you see that we're going to be able to get animals for korbanis from Kedar. So therefore, that shows that you were led. Therefore, that shows that there's no problem of that there might have been revia.
Well, it doesn't.
The point would be, though, in other words, the point would be that the moment Mashiach comes, you can buy an animal from Kedar
and bring it as a korban. Yeah, and we don't have to be concerned that last week. We don't have to be concerned that last week or last month or whatever he was revia.
Right.
Yeah. That's fine, but and as a matter, Rabbi Eliezer himself is going to have an answer to this later.
Well, that's
exactly what we're saying. That's what they use.
Not only because of Revia, because of their cost of
all. No. Well, that's right. So when we get back to the discussion tomorrow, we're going to see what Rabbi Eliezer answers to that. But for the moment, the point is
obviously that the Chachamim therefore are clearly not concerned about buying animals for korbanos from goyim.
They're explicitly saying it is mutter, and they have a pasuk to back them up. Therefore, we can't say the machlokas between Rabbi Eliezer and the Chachamim is across the board about all animals. It has to be only about the parah adruma.
Yeah,
you have to say therefore the machlokas is only about the parah adruma. So we could argue the problem is Revia, but then we'd have to understand why we're not worried about other korbanos as well. Or we could say that maybe it's about this Yichu Yakichu thing. We could say that maybe after all we have a Xeris Akosel by the part of Adruma who only supposed to buy it from a Jew. That's the point. So we don't. In other words, so that's the thing. Therefore, if you want to argue that our Mishnah is like the Eliezer, and that the Braisa that says you're allowed to buy korbanos from Goyim goes like the Chachamim, very well, that can work. We can say that Rabbi Eliezer is saying you're not allowed to buy any korbanos from the Goyim. Says no. So it's not the Yakichu thing anymore. No, it's definitely a matter of Revia. Then the Chachamim are not concerned about Revia. Rabbi Eliezer is. Hello. Therefore, he says not only Parah Adruma, but also any other korbanos. You're not allowed to buy from Goyim. The Chachamim have no problem with that. Therefore, that's it. So therefore, Rabbi Das has a point. We can say that our Mishnah that asks us to stable animals by Goyim is according to Rabbi Eliezer, and the Braisa that says that you're allowed to buy animals from Goyim for korbanos is according to the Chachamim.
But we don't know
why we know it has to be because of Revia. What else could it be? It can't be because of Yakichu, because then it would only apply to Parah Adruma. Then Rabbi Eliezer would agree that other korbanos you can buy from them.
It can't be because of Oida Shol Sakin, because again, that would only apply to a Parah Adruma. And even by the Parah Adruma, we say the guy's not going to risk all the money, all the potential money for a Parah Adruma. So that's a bit of it. Okay.
Fine. All right, so the Gemara continues. Ad kan l'plivi ela b'chashosha. Fine, so what do we see so far? So Rabbi Eliezer and the Chachamim are arguing about whether we have to be concerned that the goy was reveya, the animal, and therefore whether we're allowed to use it for a paradroma or for a curse. Avo hecha devadai rava.
But we see that if we said, if we know for a fact that the goy was reveya, a particular animal, then posla, then it would make it possible not only of curban, that's obvious, we have a drasha from posla, mina brocher, to say that a reveya and nearby also, but also for paradroma.
If we know that the goy was reveya, this animal, then it would be possible the paradroma. Shmamina, in that case, if we say that, then it means the para kodshim is vechi. Obviously, it must be, therefore, that the para is considered like one of the kodshim that are brought on the mizbeach. In other words, now we know that when it comes to things of hekdesh, you have kedushas domim versus kedushas aguf. You have things that only the value of them is kodesh, the kodesh bedek habayis, things that are going to be sold and used for the upkeep and maintenance of the Beis Hamikdash. And then you have kodesh mizbeach, which have intrinsic kedusha, where they themselves are going to be brought as korbanos. And there's a number of differences. There's a number of differences between kodesh bedek habayis and kodesh mizbeach. One of the, besides that, we're talking about revia over here. One difference is kodesh bedek habayis don't become possible by revia. Kodesh mizbeach, which have kedusha aguf, do. Another difference is as far as pidyon, that when it comes to kodesh bedek habayis, you can be paid of the thing.
But
when it comes
to the money,
is that goes to the upkeep of the best man, the upkeep.
How can it be used even if it's not possible?
Because it's only the monetary value of it that has kedusha. The animal itself has no intrinsic kedusha. So therefore, it's not a problem whether it's reveya or nirba or what have you. Also, there's a difference as far as pidyon. When it comes with kodesh mizbeach, you can only be poder if it develops a mum. As long as it's a kamim, you can't. Whereas kodesh bedek habayis, there's no distinction. So we have to say on this basis,
even if there's a mum,
the point is you can be poder.
You
can be poder whether it's well, yeah. So
you're gonna get less money for it, though. Right?
Well, obviously, yeah, it's worth less money.
But you can't also kosher
mizbeach also. Yeah, I think so. Yeah, you can be matzah neder either one. Yeah. Anyway, the point is, if we're saying that revia passes the paradroma, according to Rabbi Eliezer, even a suspicion of it, and according to the Chachamim, if we know for a fact that it happened, then obviously the para must be considered like kodesh mizbeach. Because if you're going to argue that the paradroma is only considered part of kodesh bedek habayis, which you would think it's sure, it's not burnt on the mizbeach after all, it's burnt outside the Beis Hamikdash, outside Yerushalayim, on Har HaZeitim. If you were going to argue that it's kodesh bedek habayis, mi mitzvah bar revia, would revia make it possible? So the very fact that we see that there's machloikas on this subject, and that both Rabbi Eliezer and the Chachamim agree that if there was revia involved, that it would be possible as a part of Aduma, the Chachamim are just saying we don't have to be choshish for it, but if we know that it happened, it would be possible, obviously that must mean that the part of Aduma is considered kodesh mizbeach.
Like
kodesh mizbeach, in that sense, yeah. Tosfos, by the way, brings up the point. Why didn't the Gemara mention, you know what, okay, maybe it is kodesh bedek habayis, but the part of Adruma, again, we said, is not supposed to have borne a burden, I show like Allah, Allah, oil, and Revia would be considered a burden. So Tosfos gives two answers. One, we know as a matter of fact that the Tosfos says that another animal mated with it, yes, because animals mate front to back, so therefore it had to bear the weight of the male, that would be considered bearing a burden. A human being stands upright, therefore there's no right.
Putting your hands on a paradigma.
No, that wouldn't be it. Also, no, because you're not putting your weight on it. Also, Tosfos says that the very fact that Rabbi Eliezer says it applies to all korbanos, obviously it's not a matter of oil. Because then it would apply only to the part of Adroma. Okay. Anyway, the point is that the point is that obviously, therefore, we have to say the part is considered like kodesh mizbeach. The answer is not necessarily. Shiny part of the chatas kari rachmana. You could argue maybe the part of Adroma is a special case. Yes, because it would be a difference. For example, as far as can he be poided when it's still a tam. You also have another. You couldn't if it is right. Another difference Rashi mentions is a difference called hamodah v'harocha. If you have an animal that was declared hektish, that was declared kodesh mizbeach, that is, in order to be poder, it has to still be alive. It has to be able to be stood up. It has to be that stood up in front of the kohen, and the kohen is able to evaluate its value. As opposed to kodesh bedek habayis, it doesn't matter anything with kodesh bedek habayis, whether it's alive or dead, you can be poder. So, okay. So, and Melchizedek, again, if we're going to say the Parah Adruma is considered Kodesh Mizbeach, it would mean not only Reveya and Nirba Pasalit, but also that you can't be Poder if it's Tam, and also you can't be Poder after it's Shechted. If you say that it's Kodesh Mizbeach Abayis, then none of those things would apply. So the answer is no. Shiny Parah, the Chassis Kari Rachmona. You could argue that when the you could argue that the reason why Reveya and Nirba Pasals it is because the even though it is considered generally like Kodesh Mizbeach Abayis, you don't need Hamad of Haracha. You could be Poder even as a Tam. However, when it comes to things that would make it possible, then we have to take into consideration the fact that the Pasuk calls it a Chatos, Lamei Nida Chatosi, and therefore, to that extent, it has the dinim of a regular carbon. In other words, therefore, a Parah Adruma would be kind of a hybrid thing. In certain ways, it would be like Kodesh Mizbeach Abayis. Anything that doesn't have to do with its anything that doesn't have to do with it actually being used as a Parah Adruma, for example, how we go about redeeming it. But anything that involves where it's actually going to be used as a Parah Adruma, namely what things make it possible or not, there the rules would be whatever makes a carbon possible would make it possible.
So, what makes it like possible there
is that it can't be a Reveya or Nirba, and it can't have a Mum and so forth.
Right.
And what would make it like Kodesh Mizbeach Abayis is that you could be poded even after it's shechted. You could be poed there while it's still tam. You don't have to wait till it develops a mum.
So it's hybrid.
Yeah, so it'd be a hybrid. Okay. So the question is, elamai apsi possible yotze dofen? Fine. Based on that, then if you're saying all the psulim that apply to a korban also apply to the Parah Adruma, then it should be possible if it was born by C-section, which is true of korbanos. An animal born by C-section is possible as a korban.
Not a Parah Adruma.
V'chiteima hachinami, so you're going to say, maybe a Parah Adruma can't be born by C-section. No, alama tanya, so why is it we learn in a b'raisa, hikdisha v'yotze dofen psula v'rav shem nachshir. We say that if you made an animal that was born by C-section as a Parah Adruma, the chachamim say it's possible, Rav Shimon says it's kosher. So therefore, in other words, fine, according to the Chachamim, it's possible. The very fact that we have the opinion of Rav Shimon that says it's kosher shows that it can't be a blanket thing that we say that anything that makes a korban possible makes the Parah Adruma possible. Otherwise, what is Rav Shimon basing himself on? V'chiteimer Rav Shimon l'tanei, now you might argue, fine, Rav Shimon is going according to his own svara, d'omer yotze dofen v'lad bal yehu. He says that in general, a yotze dofen, a baby born by C-section, is considered a regular baby. In the sense that, now we have the din, for example, we know that when a woman gives birth, then she's tomei for a week if it was a boy, and 2 weeks if it was a girl, and then you may tara afterwards, vaginal birth. Right, so the Chachamim, one second, right, so the Chachamim say none of that applies if it was by C-section. Rav Shimon disagrees. Rav Shimon says you have the same 7 and 14 days and so forth, and you bring a korban for a C-section. So therefore, Rav Shimon doesn't make a distinction between a vaginal birth and a C-section. So maybe, therefore, the same thing by the Parah Adruma. The answer is no. Because Rabbi Yechanan says, Rabbi Shimon does agree when it comes to kodshim, that a C-section animal, born by C-section is possible as a carbon. So he says,
he says that
the Parah Adruma is different, but that's the point. In other words, so there we go. So we see that according to Rabbi Shimon, not everything that makes a carbon possible makes a Parah Adruma possible. So why should we say that Reveya and Nirva makes it possible?
So what the part of my question is one way, and for the regular carbon, it's question another way.
By a carbon, you have the expression, and Ashi mentions, because by a carbon, you have the expression, Shoda Kesavai is ki yivolid. Ki yivolid implies that it was born naturally. By the part of Adoma, you have no such expression.
Why ki
yivolid? Means that it's born. I mean, means that it's born properly. Born in the normal way, that birth takes place. Yeah. That's.
And it doesn't say that
about the part of Adoma, yeah. Okay. So we can't say that. So we're still left with the question, if... What? Well, maybe that's it. Yeah, you've already applied that. Thank you. Okay, be that as it may, anyway, so we're back to the question. We're back to the question then. If you're going to argue that the same psulim that apply to the korbanos apply to the Parah Adruma, and that's why we're saying Reveya and Nirba is possible,
Then
it should be the same thing by Yotze Dofen, and see at least a coincidence of Shimon, that not.
So therefore,
now we have to ask, why is Reveya making it also? Yeah.
Tosfos brings another explanation, by the way, that the Gemara is actually going for this question. This that we're asking, why Rebbe makes it possible and Yotze Dofen doesn't, the Gemara may be going all the way back to the beginning of the sugya, where we were discussing not the immediate thing we just said now, that Yotze Dofen is okay according to Rav Shimon and Rebbe is not. So the Gemara may not be referring so much to that. The Gemara may be referring all the way back to the beginning of the discussion where we said that Rebbe is possible, but why should it be? Ella shiny para hoil mum posobo. No, the reason is rather like this. Since by the paradroma, unlike most kotche vedekabayas, a mum passes it, which we know that because the pasuk says that it has no mum, asherin ba mum. Therefore, dvar erva vavodazaranami posobo. Therefore, especially when it comes to paradroma, therefore, anything involving erva or anything involving avodazara will also be considered a mum and make it possible. Nothing to do with the fact that it was called a chasa. Because those are considered mumim as well. So it is kodesh vedek habayis. However, it can't have a mum because the pasuk says so. And a mum includes revia and it includes having been used to avodah zarah. In that sense, it's like kodesh mizbeach.
Everybody agrees on that?
Yeah.
The revia is a mum?
Well, that's what we're going to say. But because dichti is because you have a pasuk that says that you're not allowed to bring anything as a korban that has kimashchosam b'hem, that has its rune in it, mashchosam meloshen hashchosa, that it was rune, that it was damaged. Mumbom, they have a mum. And, so now what's the word kimashchosam, one second. Matonet ve Rabbi Shmuel, so Rabbi Shmuel teaches us in a braisa, what's this expression kimashchosam b'hem? Because their damage is on them. The pasuk could have just said they have a mum. You're not allowed to bring them in the carbon. What are the words kimashchosam b'hem add? Kol mokum shenema hashchosa. Whenever the Torah uses the word hashchosa, ruining, eina ela dvar erva v'avadizara, it means only something involving arayis or something involving avadizara. Dvar erva dechtiv ki hishchis kol bosa darkei al aret. We know that it can be erva because we find in the description before the marble that hishchis kol bosa, that they all destroyed, they were all damaging and acting destructively, and that was arayis in the years before the marble. And avodizara, the pentashchis and vasis and macham pesel, or it could be avodizara because you have a process that you could end up acting destructively and making for yourself a statue.
So they should both agree on that.
They do. That's the point. Therefore, vaha paranami. Therefore, the paradroma also hoil a mum posobod vat over vavodizachav and pasliba. So since a mum passes it, erva, which means reveya and nirva, or avodizachavim are considered a mum because they're considered under kimashchasim b'hem. Therefore, they pasul it. So, in other words, we would say not like we were assuming before that the parah must be kodshim mizbeach. The parah is kodshim vedek habayis. You're allowed to be poded when it's a tam. You're allowed to be poded after it's shechted. Whatever other rules that apply that don't apply to kodshim mizbeach don't apply to it. However, since the Torah tells us it can't have a mum, then a mum includes erva and avodizara. So those are the things that would make it possible. So the Chachamim go through, though the Chachamim say also being born by C-section would make it possible. Reb Shimon disagrees with that. But therefore,
otherwise they agree on
what makes it possible and what doesn't make it possible. So therefore, so
the previous discussion.
So that's what it means. So therefore, so the bottom line is that the Chachamim do agree that if the animal was used for Reveya and Nirva, it will be possible as a paradroma.
Yeah.
And in the end, because we're saying because it's Hashchasa, because it's considered a mum, all it is Rabbi Yezer, therefore, is concerned that the animal may have been used for that. The Chachamim are not, unless we know for a fact that it was. But if it was, then they agree that it's possible.
But the only thing they disagree on is Dothan.
Right. Well, Rav Shimon disagrees with Yotze Dothan. Right. Rav Shimon disagrees on Yotze Dothan. Rabbi Yezer and the Chachamim, both apparently agree that Yotze Dothan is possible.
Right.
But, yeah.
Okay.
So, yeah.
So one of them is really creating a physical change, and the second one is not. If that isn't that,
that's right. Revia versus avodizara.
Right.
Well, yes and no. I mean, we're talking about a male. The paradroma is a female animal. Actually, you're right. So okay, you're right. It does make a change to it. But the paradroma is a female animal. So yeah, revia makes a change to it, as the Gemara said before. It makes it infertile. But even an animal that's a zacher, still, if it's revia, it doesn't cause any physical change in it, but it still becomes possible as a carbon.
Uh-huh.
It's still considered mashchasam. I mean, by regular korbanos, we don't need the pasuk mashchasam to teach us that because we have a different drasha, mina behema, mina boko, mina tzoin, that we have different things that were mimayit from there, that were mimayit reveya and nirva and mukta and nevad. But so here we're using it specifically for the paradox.
Physical move.
Right. Okay. Okay.
continues the Gemara, Gufa, getting back to what we said before, Tani Shila, we said before that Shila taught a Braisa, my time of the Rabbi Eliezer, we said before that Shila was saying, what's Rabbi Eliezer's reason why you're not allowed to buy the part Adroma from a guy? And specifically the part Adroma according to him, Dichtiv Dabar of Bnei Yisrael V'yichu, because we said, speak to Bnei Yisrael that they should take, meaning that they should buy, and we said V'yichu can also mean V'yakichu, they should sell it. Bnei Yisrael Yakichu V'ena Erd Chom Yakichu. Okay, the question is, Elameata, well, by that logic, why don't we say the same thing in Parashas Truma, Dabar of Bnei Yisrael V'yichu L'Truma, you were asking before, Hachinami de Bnei Yisrael Yakichu V'ena Erd Chom Yakichu. Does that mean that when it comes to the materials for the Mishkan and the Bais Mikdash, you're only allowed to buy them from Jews, you're not allowed to buy them from Goyim? So you might answer, yes, any of the materials of this mikdash you're only allowed to buy from Jews, let's say, according to Rabbi Eliezer, anyway. But didn't Rabbi Yehuda say in the name of Shmuel, Shalos Rabbi Eliezer, they act the very same Rabbi Eliezer, Ad Heichan Kibud Avvaim, how far does the responsibility, how far does the mitzvah of Kibud Avvaim go, how far do you have to go in honoring them, how much do you have to be willing to lose for it? So he tells them, go see what a certain guy did for his father in Ashkelon. We learned it in Kedushin. It's a famous story. His name was Dama ben Nesina. One time. Hello? It was a guy, I don't know. Tosfos says it was in the time of the second Beis Hamikdash. So it could have been whatever guy were living in that area in those days. Well, not mayor necessarily, but no, he was a member of the city council or something. Yeah, you have a different story that one time he was sitting in a government meeting together with other people, and his mother, who was crazy, came in and started yelling at him and ripping his clothes and whatever, and he didn't he didn't do anything back to her. Yeah. Anyway, he just sat her down gently. Anyway. One time the Chachamim needed stones for him for the ephod where he was going to make a profit of 600,000 dinar.
What is this connected to our previous
story? Because the stones of the ephod are something for the Beis Hamikdash, and we see they were going to buy them from a guy. But Rav Kahana masni b'shmoinim ribur. Rav Kahana learns that it wasn't 600,000, it was 800,000, which of course it could have been both. They could have offered him 600,000 and then gone up. The keys to the safe where the diamonds were, where the jewels were, was under his father's pillow, and he didn't wake up his father to go and get the key. So Rabbi Eliezer himself is saying that you could buy stones for the ephod from a guy. How does that fit with his drasha about yikhu and yakichu? The answer is because since the pasuk, so what does it add? The pasuk starts mentioning over there, you should buy things for the Mishkan, you should bring things for the Mishkan, zahav, vachesef, unchoshet, uscheles, ve'argaman, v'selas shani, v'sheish, v'izim, v'oris elam adamim, v'oris kashim, v'ati shittim, and then all of a sudden you have a new pasuk that begins shemim amar, shemim amar or whatever, you have a pasuk, avnei shoyham v'avnei milurim la'ifid v'lachoshet. So therefore, Avnei Shoyam Hifsek Inyan, by having the word Avnei Shoyam without a vav over there, means that it's a separate thing. So therefore, it's not included in the rule of V'yichu or V'yakichu. Okay, so the question is, V'hav Avnei Miluim Ksiv? Yes, but the pasuk continues, after Avnei Shoyam, it continues, V'Avnei Miluim, D'Hoder Arvei, which means that then it combined it back together. On the face of it, therefore, it should mean that they're all combined back together and they're also. So how are you allowed to buy Shoyham stones for the ephod from a goy, if it's all included back together with Avnei Milurim. Tosfos explains, now Rashi explains it that way. Tosfos argues that that can't be what it means, because obviously the Gemara knows eventually there's going to be a vault someplace. So therefore, Tosfos learns what they wanted to buy from Dama ben Nesina is not stones for the ephod, it was actually stones for the choshen. And in fact, Tosfos brings from the Yerushalmi that it was the stone for Binyamin, the Yoshvei, had gotten lost or damaged or whatever, and they needed a new one. The stones for the Choshen are Avnei Miluim. And then there is a Vav, Ve'Avnei Miluim.
That would mean, fine.
Avnei Shoyam, you could argue, are a rule of their own, but Ve'Avnei Miluim means continuation of the previous list. There's a few other explanations among Mephoshim also, which is, actually Tosfos says at the end that rather the question is in Parshas Truma, yes, it says Avnei Shoyam, but in Parshas Vayakel it says Ve'Avnei Shoyam, but Avnei Milurim. So at least in Vayakel, you have it's one long list. So anyway, so we see, therefore, that you're allowed, so we see Rabbi Eliezer is allowing you to buy such things from a guy. But oid katoni sefer, and not only that, we continue in the continuation of that b'risa. L'shana acheres nodel et parah drama be'edre. The next year, Hashem rewarded Dama ben Nesina by a parah drama was born in his herd of cows. Nichnasu chachmi Yisrael, that's right, so the chachamim came to him to buy it. Amalehem, and he says to them, Yedeani shebachem, I know about you. She'im atni mevakesh mekem kol mamon sheba'olam. Even if I would ask you all the money in the world, atem noisim, you would give it to me, because a parah drama is a very rare thing, and I know you need it. Ella. But now I'm only going to ask you for the same amount of money that I lost because of the covet of my father, the same 600 or 800,000 dinarim from before. So we see, therefore, that Rabbi Yezir, because he wanted to make up for what he had lost. Marsha says actually an interesting thing. What happened over here? The very fact that he had a parah drama, which is worth a lot of money, means Hashem was going to pay him back in this world for his mitzvah of kibbutz. But he's saying, I don't want to be paid back completely for that mitzvah in this world. I want some of it to be for Olam Haba. Therefore, I know I could ask for a lot of money. All I want is to be reimbursed that money that I lost because of it. The rest of my reward for not waking up my father, I want to be saved for Olam Haba. Anyway, the point still is that we see that Rabbi Eliezer is saying you can buy a parah drama from a goy. So what are you telling me that Rabbi Eliezer is saying you can't? No, it's a fact. A goy is a goy. The answer is Hosamai de Kagri Yisrael Zogor. The answer is the Chachamim didn't buy it directly from him. There was a middleman over there, a Jewish middleman, bought it from Jama ben Nesina, and then resold it to the Chachamim.
He was Jewish still.
The fact is that we're saying, when Rabbi Eliezer is saying you have to buy the parah drama from a Jew, he doesn't mean necessarily that it has to be directly. He doesn't mean that it can never have been in a goy's hand. It means the actual buying of it when it's brought to the treasury of the Beis Hamikdash has to be done from a Jew. So as long as a Jew bought it from Dama ben Nesina, then it's okay even according to Rabbi Eliezer. Again, that's only according to Shila's explanation, which is that the whole problem that it's just Xeris HaKosis. If we're talking Revia, that's a different thing, and the Gemara is going to get back to that tomorrow.
So they couldn't wait until Revia itself?
What? They couldn't wait. They went and bought the evidence someplace else, I guess. I guess they had to buy it someplace else. I don't know.
And he profited by keeping it.
He
profited also by keeping it.
Okay. Yeah, I guess.
He also got the money and
I suppose. I mean, not necessarily the stone had been worth so much to anybody else. Again, when you have a captive market, then they wouldn't necessarily have been worth so much to somebody else.
But he didn't sell this because
Right.